And we get to start our second hour by going to the University Dogs hotlines, which are inside of our tummies right now, University Dogs. We talk about a little bit of a gut check as we get to catch up on enzymes against probiotics with the good Dr. Michael Murray, registered pioneer of and one of the world's leading authorities on natural medicine, former faculty member, serves on the Board of Regents at, is that Bastyr University, Bastyr University?
Bastyr
University. Not enough letters in there for me to get that one right. In Seattle. Doc, how you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
Tell me about the conversation we're going to have today, a little bit different, about the importance of correctly nourishing your belly, your gut.
Yeah. Digestive issues affect over 100 million Americans, indigestion, heartburn, bloating, gas, yeah. Constipation, diarrhea. These are not disease states, but these are functional disorders. Their gastrointestinal system is just not functioning properly. And many people are looking to drugs to help them. Many of them are looking to natural products. And I'm just going to try and help them get to the right product to help them with their gut issues.
Is this because of how bad we're eating? I mean, is it as simple as that?
It's not that simple, but food quality definitely plays a role. And there's a lot of common offending foods that lead to indigestion. And these are generally things that Americans tend to like, highly processed foods, lots of sugar, lots of high fat foods that are kind of hard to break down. Coffee can cause reflux for a lot of people. So just a lot of people and as they age, people don't secrete enough digestive enzymes, and all of a sudden they're dealing with gas, bloating, and indigestion. So there are a lot of reasons for this high number of people suffering from GI disturbances, and unfortunately, they're, I think, going in the wrong direction many times, and they're looking for relief.
Is this going in a, what's this doing to us long term?
Well, long term, there are a lot of problems, and they're compounded by the choices that people are making to deal with these symptoms. The chief one being for heartburn. What people generally reach for are over-the-counter medications, and what we know about these antacid drugs, particularly the newer type drugs like Nexium and Prilosec, is that they lead to all sorts of problems, and these are serious problems. They're not designed for long-term use, and many people are on them for decades, and that increases the risk for certain forms of cancer, increases the risk for nutrient deficiencies, of infections, not just in the GI tract, but elsewhere, pneumonia and that sort of thing. These drugs are associated with early mortality. What that means is they put people in the grave sooner, and that's a result of the fact that they are a major factor in leading to heart disease and strokes, as well as Alzheimer's disease, and as I mentioned, many forms of cancer. So we got to get people off these sorts of drugs and utilizing more natural, effective ways to address their symptoms. And there are ways in which people can get relief while still enjoying some of the foods that they want to eat.
Sure.
Like you said, we've got to help people make better quality choices with their food. But let's face it, people are going to still eat their pizza and hamburgers and hot dogs and some of these other foods that are kind of hard to digest. What do they do to help their digestive systems? And that's what we're going to talk about. We'll talk about the importance of using supplemental digestive enzymes and kind of compare the use of enzymes to another natural product, probiotics.
You probably don't want to hear me tell you that me and Nick each had two hot dogs today because it's opening day in our building. we're as much of people, air quotes, as anybody. At least I am. Nick's been pretty good. Are you hitting me with a true false gut check game? Is that for me or is that for everybody?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, fire away.
Well, in general, the host asked me the question.
Oh, yeah, I'm asking you the question. I thought Nick said you were asking me the questions. Okay, so I got an idea, and it was hard because I'd already seen the answer, so I was going to have to try to be honest. Carbonated drinks causing gas, true or false?
If that answer is actually false. Carbonated beverages can cause belching and burping, but they don't cause an increase in flatulence. So false. They don't cause gas, but they do cause belching and burping.
So I thought if you were tooting out of either end, that would be considered gas. So a belch and a burp, is it technically gas inside your body?
Most of the time when people talk about passing gas, they're talking about flatulence.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Can carbonated beverages, since we're on the topic, you know, 7-Up, Sprite, stuff like that, do they? Is it true it helps to settle the stomach?
No. No, that's not true. You know, ginger ale had that reputation, and there is ginger in there. Real ginger ale does have ginger, and ginger does have some benefits in improving digestive function. So, I don't believe that the carbonation settles the stomach.
The crash kit always, when somebody has an upset stomach, is to go get some saltines, go get some 7-Up, and you know, chicken noodle soup when the stomach is under control enough to eat. So you're telling me at least one of those is not a
Our grandmas didn't know everything.
Well, that's still going on.
Yeah. They're giving you some sugar and some salt in there. Yeah, no, I think there are better ways.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet it just makes you feel a little better when you get those things in your system. They don't upset your stomach more, but it doesn't necessarily settle it scientifically.
Okay, that's placebo.
Like sometimes antacids, as you mentioned, because that's going to be one of the questions. True or false, water weight is not real weight gain.
Well, that's true. Water weight gain, it isn't real fat gain. You're not gaining, doesn't reflect your body fat percentage increasing, but it does tell us something. When you are retaining water, the biggest reason for most people is too much salt in their diet. Retaining water could also be due to inflammation or, you know, impaired kidney function. So there are certain things that we should rule out if you are showing signs of water weight gain, but it's not true weight gain. It is just water.
What about this question? So,
Nick, we're in the middle of a quiz here.
I know, but it's not going to be relevant in two questions. So, drinking a bunch of water, I've been told that if you drink a bunch of water, you'll obviously get your weight up a little bit just to start out with. But at a certain point, your body adjusts to that and maintains less water because it knows how much it really needs. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I think many people are suffering from minor dehydration, and they should try to increase their water intake. I mean, I think all of us have heard it over and over again, drink 6 to 8 glasses of water per day, and rarely do people even come close to that. Mm. If you're not drinking enough water, so you're going to the bathroom every 2 to 2.5 waking hours, you could be dehydrated. So I kind of go by how your body is responding to that hydration. And there are a lot of benefits to being well hydrated. And a lot of people sometimes will experience thirst, but their wiring gets mixed up and they get hunger pain. And as a result, they overconsume calories. So, you know, a lot of times when people are hungry, what they really are is thirsty, and they should try drinking a glass of water if they're trying to lose weight.
Yeah, I don't even come close to that in the bathroom situation. Like, I got to go to the bathroom once, maybe twice a day. Here I thought T-Mac, who has to tinkle every 15 minutes, I thought I was healthier than him. He's doing it the right way then.
15 might be a little.
It takes him 13 minutes. I don't have enough information there. But
you guys are on the wrong ends of the spectrum is what Doc's about to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, you know, bladder irritation or prostate irritation as well. But in general, for someone who is healthy, wanting to know how much water to drink, they should drink enough so that they are getting to the bathroom every 2.5 hours, or about every 18 holes, or excuse me, every 9 holes if they're a golfer.
Oh, yeah. When I'm on the golf course, I don't have a problem. But it's water that's in the drinks that is what's creating.
There you go.
The best way to handle indigestion is with an antacid.
No, I think that's one of the worst ways to handle it. Antacids, particularly these newer drugs, they really block digestion, and the body counteracts that effect by, you know, producing some unwanted consequences. So instead, I think we need to assist the body's ability to break down food and to deal with these common symptoms of gas, bloating, indigestion, and occasional heartburn. Many people reach for a probiotic to accomplish that, but the problem there is that probiotics don't digest food. That's where digestive enzymes come into play. Digestive enzymes are available as supplements that you can take before a meal, And these enzymes can help digest the food and help you relieve these symptoms of gas, bloating, occasional heartburn, and really get more from the food that you're eating. And I think many people that are reaching for probiotics, boy, if they would reach for digestive enzymes, they would really get much better results.
Is it safe for people that have like diverticulitis or, you know, hernias, stuff like that, to be able to take those enzymes?
Absolutely. Very important to do so. Anyone who has some compromised aspect of their digestion needs some support. And digestive enzymes are really at the top of the list as to what nature has available to help people with digestive disturbances.
Yeah.
Your last question you've kind of gone into, but for gas and bloating, take probiotics. I need you to kind of explain to me what probiotic is, too.
Yeah, probiotics.
Difference between that and enzymes. Kind of go into that.
Yeah, probiotics are health-promoting bacteria. These probiotics are very important for our overall health and our digestive health. But for people that are suffering from gas and bloating, they're better off utilizing, in most cases, digestive enzymes. Because if you're not breaking down your food, then those large food particles, they're broken down by gut bacteria, and that causes a lot of gas, bloating, and indigestion. So very simple. If you take digestive enzymes with meals, you can break down food to smaller units that the body can then utilize. And because you're breaking the food down, it's not causing symptoms. Enzymes have been part of mainstream medicine for many years. Many people out there probably heard of being lactose intolerant. That's when you're intolerant to a milk sugar, and it causes gas, bloating, and diarrhea. Well, if they take an enzyme, lactase, along with, you know, drinking milk or any sort of dairy that has lactose in it, they can then tolerate that food. The same principle applies to other food intolerances and the whole concept of utilizing enzymes as digestive aids. And they really do work. And they're safe, they're effective, and they're not that expensive.
Gotcha. Well, if somebody wants more information, where are you sending them?
For more information, I would recommend going to enzymedica.com. It's a great website for learning more about enzymes and how they can be used to improve your digestive health. And people can always go to my website, drmurray.com.
Excellent. Nick, do you...
I was going to ask, I had two smaller questions. One, do hiccups fall in line with any of this?
I'm chuckling because I just read an article about hiccups. In way to deal with them very effectively. Hiccups are caused by a spasm in your esophageal sphincter. That's the sphincter that separates your esophagus from your stomach, and so it's spasming, and you know, that's when you get scared. Someone, you know, yells boo at you, mm-hmm. or something, and you take a deep breath all of a sudden, and it stops being in spasm. The hiccups relieved. They found that when people are mindful when they're eating and are eating in a more relaxed state and breathing and with their diaphragm in a relaxed state, that it goes a long way in preventing hiccups.
Well, yeah, I've heard of hiccups.
I clearly have not known all these years what a sphincter was.
Yeah. Well, no, there's multiple. Oh, okay. There's multiple.
They're multiple, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I've heard of hiccups while sleeping as well, which kind of is another thing. But the last question I had for you, have you heard of the stomach, you know, sometimes people having digestive issues to where their stomach kind of stops working and they go in and get it repaired, but then like medicine can actually kickstart it after the surgery and stuff? Like, what happens there? Like the stomach forgets how to work for a while.
Yeah, it's called gastroparesis, and the stomach is just not functioning in its mechanical effects and kind of churning and helping to break down that food. There are some great natural approaches to that. There are good studies with artichoke extract and ginger. These are long-used herbs for digestive improvement, and they have shown benefits in kind of kick-starting the stomach in people who have this gastroparesis.
And they can be taken alongside the enzymes as well, right?
Yeah.
And enzymes, last question I have is the enzymes, do you take them, like if somebody is like, I'm really buying what this guy's talking about, should they carry those around and pop one before each meal or just on a per need basis?
Yeah, I think many people have long standing chronic digestive issues. And the only way to really judge whether these are going to be effective is if you use them for a significant amount of time. And by that, I mean 14 days. I referred people to the site of Enzymedica, and they have a product called Digest Gold that I really like. And if people want to see if enzymes are for them, they can take Digest Gold with every meal for 14 days, and it's life-changing for many people.
Awesome.
Well, Doc, thanks a lot for the time, and we send people to drmurray.com, and for more information, check that out, and they can also follow you on Twitter as well. Thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Michael Murray joining us, and it's always great to learn a little bit more about our bodies, and it gives you options.